Here with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hi, I'm Sabine.
And I'm Adam. With this 16th episode of Robots, we hope to give you a good overview of what's happened in the last year in robotics, with a panel of five experts from various fields of robotics.
Dan Cara from Robotics Trends on the Robotics Marketplace.
Terry Fong from NASA on space robotics.
Dario Floriano from the EPFL on what he sees as the greatest achievements this year and next.
Stephen Rainwater from Robots.net on the hobbyist world.
And finally, Minoru Azada from Osaka University on the Japanese scene.
Each person was asked only two questions: what they saw as the greatest achievements in 2008, and what we can expect for 2009.
But first, let's hear our personal overview of robotics in 2008 from Christine.
Thanks, Sabine. The past year has seen significant advances in robotics across many fields. The biggest surprise may have been the many prototypes for household robots, including Toyota's Robot Maid, the Carobot 3 by the Stuttgart Fraunhofer Institute and the B21 built by the Technical University of Munich in Germany, the Japanese Roboco, and Yasukawa Electric Corporation's 1.3-meter tall SmartPal 5. While these robots are impressive, unfortunately, none of them have made it beyond the prototype stage to date. More entertaining and already in stores are 2008's new toy robots, with the Femi Sapien, Bladestar, Tribot, Rovio, and the Alive series. Robots toy maker Wowie has had an eventful year. Among many other robot toys, we were especially impressed with this year's iSobot by Tommy and the rapid educational development robot Red by company Head Start as an innovative learning aid for toddlers. Another field that has advanced significantly were robotic exoskeletons. Honda has demonstrated its sit-on-top robotic legs, and company Cyberdyne has become the first to mass-produce an exoskeleton, their Hybrid Assistive Limb, or HAL. 2008 has also seen advances in many other areas, including rescue robots, such as Robin Murphy Survivor Buddy Robot, or the 8-meter-long hose-like robot specialized in rescuing victims in collapsed buildings, or military robots, such as Australia Defense Department's Spiker and the iRobot Negotiator. A new and surprising development in 2008 was that robots are increasingly entering the arts scene. We reported on David Hansen and David Byrne's singing humanoid robot, the 15-meter-tall Liverpool robot Spider, as well as robot actors performing on stage alongside regular actors in Taiwan and Japan. Finally, a few other robots that have impressed, scared, or amused us in 2008 were the remote-controlled Japanese ShopBot TMSUK4, a walking iPhone robot, and the rapid prototyper robot RepRap, which can create copies of itself. We are looking forward to exchanging news and views on this past year's robots, as well as receiving your personal outlooks on next year's novelties on our forum at www.robotspodcast.com/forum.
Thanks, Christine. Our first guest, Dan Cara, is the president and co-founder of Robotics Trends, a U.S.-based company specializing in the burgeoning personal, service, and mobile robotics market. He gives us a snapshot view of today's and tomorrow's robotics business scene, backed by years of numbers and graphs compiled in-house.
Hi, Dan. Welcome to Robots.
How you do?
What have been this year's trends in robotics from a business point of view?
Sure. I'll break that up into different marketplaces. If we look at the industrial robotics marketplace at this particular time, what you've seen is companies making products that are moving into small to medium businesses as opposed to some of the larger automotive manufacturers and some of the other areas of manufacturing they've been in historically. Those robots, in addition, moving into small and medium marketplaces, they're also moving into different vertical market segments. So outside of traditional manufacturing, a good example of this is to move into food handling. You've seen a number of announcements from some of the robotics companies that they have modified their products to target this, including changing how the you would grease the various arms on the thing so they could be used in food environments. They've gotten FDA approval in the United States to move and handle, say, different types of meat and poultry. So there's a good example of them moving into a different vertical market segment. Also, they're moving from adding much more intelligence and vision to these systems so that they're no longer limited to working with objects that are in very, very, very specific positions and highly structured environments. So now they're adding vision and intelligence to these things so they can do intelligence, say, picking and palleting on objects that are just spread out in a bin, for example. So again, industrial robotics marketplace moving into new vertical market segments, new technologies, and also moving into small and medium businesses. When you look at, say, service robots, the big efforts underway in the professional service robotics area is in certainly healthcare robotics. Surgical robotics is doing very well, even in a down market, the down economy at this particular time, and that will increase over time. What you're seeing is more and more data coming out from research institutes and research hospitals showing the effectiveness of surgical robots in terms of reducing recuperative times and saving hospitals and research centers money. So sales are still going forward with these things, even in a down marketplace, because over time they will save these various institutions money. And you're also starting to see that these institutions are now promoting their surgical services by the fact that they have robots to do them, because this is now the information is going out to the wider marketplace that this is in fact the new modern way to do robotic survey. So targeting the generalized marketplace, which I think is very interesting. Also, there's efforts to move up these surgical robots into, again, very, very narrow niches, such as, say, knee replacement surgery or prostate surgery, which is, I think is interesting as well. Also in healthcare robotics, you're seeing now starting to move with some of the home healthcare lifestyle enhancement opportunities in there as well. Other professional service robots would be, of course, the military robots. The unmanned aerial vehicle systems marketplace is just booming. All of them are showing very, very high growth. Even with expected cutbacks in military expenditures, unmanned aerial systems and even unmanned ground systems will be protected from those cuts for the most part. So unmanned aerial vehicles are now the fastest growing area of within the aeronautics space at this time. It's not the largest section, but it's the fastest growing at this time. In terms of unmanned ground vehicles, those are also doing very well, particularly the small unmanned ground vehicles. We've moved to a couple of hundred being used in Afghanistan and places like Iraq going back 5 or 6 years ago to being over 4,000. I think it's approaching 5,000 of these things now, as well as other types of vehicles. And research is going underway, and those programs are funded in many countries, not just the United States, but in many countries across the world. So that's going very, very well. In terms of consumer robotics, what you're seeing is certainly, people are waiting for sort of whole cloth personal robots to evolve, but that's not going to come anytime soon. The technology is really not powerful enough, and the costs are too high. But what you're seeing is people applying very, very cheap consumer electronics functionality within low-cost robots in the areas of smart toys, for example. Other areas where there's high growth is in the area of educational robotics. These robots are being tied informally and now formally into curricula across all industrial nations. So that would be all of Japan and Korea and other parts of Asia, India, all of Europe, and certainly Canada and the United States. are incorporating robots not only informally in their curricula, but also formally in your curricula. So that's a huge marketplace as these things become sort of the new, following a model similar to the PC in that respect. Robots aren't PCs, but the way that PCs found their way into schools and classrooms beginning in the late 70s and early 80s, typically is one person brought one in and another person, and it was used as an adjunct for teaching, and eventually became a class or curriculum item unto itself, the computer science lab and the computer science department. That will be happening with robotics, so not only through graduate level, but also undergraduates and then K-12 as well.
What can we hope to see next year?
What you're going to see, I believe, next year, and there is a down economy. All the trends that I just outlined in terms of what's happening now will continue. There'll be other things happening, however. What you're starting to find now, what people are starting to notice, is that the way that robotics are perceived. Now, for the most part, most of us believe that, in fact, the growth in robotics that we're seeing now is due to a confluence of factors, but the primary one is that enabling technologies such as sensors and batteries and actuators and a variety of other things are becoming much more powerful. At the same time, the price for those technologies are staying flat or declining or increasing very little. So you're getting much more capabilities in terms of functionality, yet at the same time, the price is not going up at all or really going up that much. People tend to believe that that's what's driving the industry, but now what you're starting to see is people starting to realize that, in fact, robotic technology is driving other areas of the industry. So instead of, for example, batteries driving robotics, robotics technology and robotics research and robotics products are driving innovation in other areas, whether that's consumer electronics, where, for example, you can have facial recognition or image recognition in a handheld camera, or whether it's other types of technologies that, for example, work going into robotics so they can communicate with each other in groups, for example, will move into sensor network technology. So instead of enabling technology feeding robotics, robotics is feeding the larger technology marketplace. And I think the largest area where it's going to be growing is in consumer electronics, where technology coming out of robotics, things such as face and voice recognition, artificial intelligence, as well as communication technology so they can support multiple groups of robots working with each other, are now going to move off into other products, and that will begin in 2009. So that's one of the major overarching trends. And then the other one is the focus on autonomy. Opportunities in this marketplace are going to be linked into autonomy. If we're talking about all these different classes of robots and comparing an unmanned aerial vehicle to a smart toy is really a reach, except when you can sort of think about overarching themes. And the overarching theme that I would like to focus on for the next couple of years is autonomy. What they're finding is if they can bring autonomy into products, on the consumer side, it allows you to do new types of things and add new types of functionality. For example, whether they're smart toys or whether they're things such as lawn care and home care products, such as vacuum cleaners or lawn mowers. Adding autonomy adds capabilities that make those products much more useful and much more easy to sell. What we've done is research here at Robotics Trends, and we found out in terms of those products like home care and lawn care, people aren't looking for things to do things better. What they want to do is save time, and they get a better job through the repetition of use. So, for example, a robot will never vacuum as good as a human can, but, of course, I don't vacuum my house every single day. So you get a better job through repetition. And part of that's linked in with autonomy. So things can now find themselves around the room and they aren't just going back and forth randomly like the current versions of many of these robots. In terms of professional service robots, say take military unmanned aerial vehicles or unmanned ground vehicles, again, autonomy is the driver here. If we can make these things more autonomous, reduce the amount of control that we have, then we go to, for example, five or six people working a robot to one single person working five or six robots. And when you can do that, you can save money and you can increase capabilities. And those are major, major drivers in the professional service robotics area. So again, for the future, I think what you're going to see is robotics perceived as an enabling technology for other types of technology and other types of products. And I think there's going to be greater effort pushed into the area of increasing autonomy across the products of all classes, because what it'll do is make these things more functional, it'll make them more appealing to people on the consumer side, and also reduce costs overall if you can have less people required to run these robots.
Terry Fong is the director of the Intelligent Robotics Group at the NASA Ames Research Center in New Mexico. His group has been involved in many of the recent robotic missions sent to explore our solar system, as well as much of the groundwork for the next generation of robotic explorers that will help us return to the moon.
Hi, Terry Fong. Welcome to Robots Podcast.
Hi.
So you work at the NASA Ames Research Facility in the States. Can you tell us a little bit what, from your point of view, were the big pieces of news that came out of space robotics in general, not just NASA, but maybe other countries? And what were the big things that happened this year?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think this was a very exciting year for space robotics. In particular, it was a really great year for Mars exploration. There were two, I think, really big things this past year. One is the Mars exploration rovers, Spirit and Opportunity. They're still functioning after almost 5 years on the surface of Mars, and really continuing to do great science, to do a tremendous amount of exploration. It's really great because the original mission for those two robots was 90 days long, and now they're coming up on almost 5 years of exploration on the surface, which is just really phenomenal given the amount of ground that they've covered and the findings from geology that they've returned. So that's one thing. The second area is of the Mars Phoenix lander, which confirmed the presence of water ice on Mars, and was the first robotic mission to one of the poles of Mars. That mission also ran a lot longer than expected. It was originally scheduled for 90 days. It ended up running for 2 months longer than planned. We just lost contact just a couple weeks ago. But it was also phenomenal in its ability to land and dig down into the ice soil boundary and confirm that there's water. So I think that if I was to sum up the two most important achievements this past year in space robotics, I'd have to say it was the continuation of the Mars exploration robots and the Mars Phoenix lander.
Great. What would you say, maybe looking for 2009 then, what do you guys have planned and what do you think will be the major achievements or missions that are going to happen next year?
Well, let's see. Next year is going to be obviously a continuation of the Mars exploration rovers. At this point in time, it's just really a question of whether or not they continue to get enough power from their solar systems to keep functioning. We've learned how to keep those robots alive pretty well over the past 5 years, and so I certainly expect them to make significant achievements next year. But beyond that, NASA, for example, is really starting to focus a lot on getting ready to go back to the moon. The moon is obviously going to play a very important role of where NASA and other space agencies spend their efforts over the next several years. And NASA, for example, has a very extensive program right now to develop robots for lunar surface operations. And these robots range from small-scale robots, the kind that we're working on here at NASA Ames, to much larger robots that can serve dual purposes. The Chariot robot at NASA Johnson in Texas, for example, can be used both as an astronaut vehicle, think of it an astronaut truck, if you will, as well as you can flip the switch and use it as a much larger robot to carry payloads around the lunar surface, to do a number of transport tasks, and to place larger things such as power systems or perhaps parts of a lunar outpost.
And you hope to see the Phoenix again in 2009, or is that wishful thinking?
Well, there are a lot of us that are very hopeful that once it gets enough power back, that it will come back to life. It'll be a big question after the Martian winter passes. You know, I think it's anybody's guess whether or not that Phoenix will come back to life again. So it'll be maybe a re-Phoenix, but I really hope to see it.
Dario Floriano is the director of the Laboratory of Intelligent Systems here at the EPFL in Lausanne, Switzerland. Over the years, he's been focusing on taking inspiration from biology to design swarming, evolving, and flying robots, as well as researching how biological societies can evolve to communicate and cooperate.
Hi, Dario. Welcome to Robots.
Hi, Sabine.
What have been the most important achievements this year in robotics?
So, I want to say that I won't be speaking about my area of research, because I would be biased in that area. So if I leave aside that, I would say that there has been a lot of incremental progress in research, but a big achievement, I think, has been in the toy industry, where we can start to see and we can buy, actually, robots that have amazing number of motors and amazing smoothness in the way in which they behave that I thought was going to be very difficult, and even for research prototypes, it's very difficult to achieve that type of flexibility. So I think that's a huge achievement.
What can we hope to see, do you think, in the next year?
I think we are going to see more robots on the market, but in terms of research achievement, always leaving aside what I'm doing, I think there will be some progress in neuroprosthetic or exoskeleton, so robots that allow people to achieve again some degree of mobility or even become normal people that have no problems with mobility, but they require extra strength to move bigger payloads. I think we're going to see something like that.
Steve Rainwater is a founding editor of robots.net. One of the longest-standing sources for news on robotics on the net. He's an avid robot hobbyist that has seen the scene evolve over the last decade and keeps track of all the latest products that enter the hobbyist market.
So hi, Steve. Welcome again to the Robots Podcast.
Glad to be here and enjoy your show.
So being an editor for one of the biggest online news sites on robotics, robots.net, you see a lot of news coming through from around the world in terms of robotics. What would you say, in your opinion, with your global view, were the few major achievements of 2008 in terms of robotics?
Well, there are a lot of achievements out there this year, and I can give you a few that at least interested me personally. I would say the biggest of those is just the cumulative amount of AI and brain research. There have been a lot of new results coming out this year. The ones that come to mind are, for example, the Boston University guys that have connected a speech synthesizer up to the human brain, allowing a mute volunteer to actually form some vowel sounds. They're working on full words. Mm-hmm. There's also been some advances in understanding how the brain creates hierarchical models of different types of algorithms. And there's also the somewhat creepy transhumanist groups, but they've put out a very interesting document called the Whole Brain Emulation Roadmap, which is probably the first comprehensive document describing all the areas of research that we need to work on to get to the point of doing things like brain simulation and brain uploads. So there's just been a lot of interesting developments in that field. Mm-hmm. In the more down-to-earth hobbyist field, I'm seeing a huge increase in people interested in do-it-yourself stuff. Things like Maker Faire, for example, seems to be just going nuts out there. More and more people that want to build their own hardware, build their own software. So that's, I think, very encouraging. You're seeing a lot of new microcontrollers, for example, like the Arduino, the little Atmel-based thing that are open-source hardware. So it's very encouraging to see all the innovation coming just from individuals out there. Mm-hmm. If I had to pick one specific hobby robot, I'd say the Pololu 3Pi robot, which is a little $100 robot. And in fact, I've got one here on my desk that I've been playing with. These are really cool little hobby robots, little differential drive things. They use the GCC free software tool chain, and they're speedy little things. So I'd like to see a lot more of these out there.
And you can get those in any hobby shop?
Pretty much. You can get them online. You can get them at retail stores. And we actually picked these guys on our annual top 10 list for robot Christmas gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really enthused by this particular little robot. It's pretty cool.
Great. So looking forward to the future, what are you waiting for in 2009? Or maybe what do you think will happen and what do you wish would happen?
Well, I got a few things there. There's always unexpected stuff that happens, and that's usually turns out to be the most interesting. But there are a few things I'd really like to see, one of which I'd love to see somebody put together a Linux distro specifically aimed at robots, a robot operating system, basically. And there's some specific features or requirements something like that would need to have. And the technology's all out there, but nobody's put the pieces together. We need a little Linux distro that could boot from a flash drive or a CF card that would already have all the open source libraries and frameworks for robot control, speech synthesis, voice recognition, vision, and all those tools are out there. What we need is somebody to take all that, put it together, port it to a couple of the different boards that are real common in robots, mini ITX boards, ARM boards. And that's something I'd really like to see happen next year. And I think the time is right for it. So, in fact, if anybody out there listening to this is interested, get in touch with me through robots.net. We'll see if we can put something together maybe. another interesting thing, I would love to see somebody put together a robot, differential drive robot with wheel encoders, which is one of the few deficiencies of that little 3Pi robot I was talking about. Something like that that you could get for under $200 or $300 would be a huge benefit for hobbyists, for the education market, and I think the time is right for that. I'd love to see a hobby robot group design something like that as open source hardware, for example, but that's something that I think we really need, and all the tools are out there. Somebody just needs to put it together. So I'm really hoping to see that this year. And as to what else, all I can say is we're seeing more and more robot news of all kinds out there. So I would expect to see more science fiction books featuring robots. Expect to see a lot more robot movies next year. More and more robot toys. I'm even seeing a huge increase in robot-themed artwork, sculpture, paintings, things like that, just crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think 2009 is going to be a good year for robots.
Our final guest, Minoru Asada, is the director of the Adaptive Machine Systems Lab at Osaka University. His group has been involved in many aspects of multiple robot interaction and behavior, and is at the forefront of robotics research in Japan.
Hello, Professor Minoru Asada. Welcome to Robots.
Yeah. Hi. Hello.
What have been the most important achievements this year in robotics in Japan?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I suppose that this year we have some activities, some movement about robot. How would say some experiments of the some starting year of the some experiments of the robot in the street. That means usually we have some experiments in our labs. And the environment is limited, and usually the ordinary people cannot access the robots. But I suppose that the most important thing in the robotics is that to introduce the robot to our daily life. But we have the many issues to introduce the robot to our society. Therefore, we need some kind of experiment. And that meant that we need some kind of the, some experiments of the robot activities or robot movements in our society. Therefore, some place started to do some experiment about to check or to test how the humans behave to the robots. So they actually in Japan, in Osaka, we have some experiment test place, just we call the UCW, that is a University City Walk, just front of the Universal Studio Japan in Osaka. And in that experiment, the people, the researcher at ATR, move the robots on the street, and especially check how they know the humans they behave to the robots. Especially the robots try to guide the humans, the customers to the shop or some place and so on. But actually, the experiment place is very noisy. The music and the sounds and so on. Therefore, a real time in the voice recognition is almost impossible. Therefore, the researchers in ATL set up the TV cameras, many TV cameras from the ceiling, at the ceiling, and also the laser rangefinder to capture the depth information, and then try to identify what kind of the behavior the human is doing, and also at the same time, the system try to estimate the intention of the behavior of the human, such as go to the shop or go to the another place or just wandering and so on. So, such kind of activity is very important for the robotics to be introduced to the our society. So this year, there are some researchers in ATR started such a kind of experiment on the street.
And what can we hope to see next year?
Next year? Okay. In the next year, we have the, more experiments. And actually, this is a very, very fundamental research, fundamental experiment. Therefore, we deployed more activities such as testing the robots, not simply on the street, but inside the shop or office or so on. Actually, so far, we just tested, the robotics researcher just tested just very limited environment, but we deployed this kind of the activities in the, hopefully, maybe the hospital or the museums or the something. We know already some researchers outside Japan introduce some guiding robot in the museum and so on. But we like to the robots much more interactive with humans, such as hopefully the conversations or the playing with the game and so on.
Thanks everyone for being here for our special New Year's episode. The winner of last episode's contest and the proud owner of a brand new FemiSapien robot is posted on our website, so be sure to check it out.
For more information on our guests, visit our website at www.robotspodcast.com. Thanks for listening. Hope to see you in 2 weeks.
Happy New Year with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.